Today's study is number 13 in our series of studies entitled Basic Bible Comprehension. It is also our final study in this series. In these studies, we've been making sure that we understand and appreciate the most fundamental and important command that God gives to us regarding Bible study, and that is the command found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where we are told to be rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, folks, when you rightly divide something, you make a division in it that separates it into at least two distinct parts. And this is something that must be done with the Bible, because the Bible does not contain information from God about just one program or dispensation that God has. Rather, the Bible contains information about two distinct and different programs that God is working out: His program for Israel and His program for the church, the body of Christ. These two programs are not the same, and for that reason, the Bible must be rightly divided so as not to mix them together and confuse them. You know, folks, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker by trade, and as such, he was very experienced with the need to rightly divide something. As a tent maker who worked with the goat's hair that the tent cloth was made from, he had to rightly divide the goat's hair as well as the cloth into at least two different kinds. Some of it was used to make one part of the tent, while other of it was used to make another part of the tent. Rightly dividing all the goat hair and cloth was extremely important so that a tent could be made properly. It wouldn't do to mix it all up and treat the cloth as if it was all the same. And once again, the same is true of the word of truth, the Bible. If God's word is going to be properly handled, and Christians are going to be properly taught from it, it too must be rightly divided into its two portions that correspond with the two distinct programs that God talks about in the Bible. It won't do to teach Christians to follow things from God's program with Israel when Christians aren't Israel and Israel's program isn't in effect today. Folks, that's not proper Bible handling. But unfortunately, more times than not, that is the kind of Bible teaching most Christians hear today. Now, in this, our final study to this series, I want to first summarize for us a few of the major issues pertaining to the right division of the Bible that we have looked at over the last 12 weeks, and that we should now understand and appreciate. Then I want us to conclude this series of studies by briefly noting that just about every ism and schism that exists among Christians today is due to the fact that so many Christians fail to rightly divide the word of truth. Take your Bibles with me here, if you would now, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is a passage now that ought to be very familiar to you. By now we should understand and appreciate that this present dispensation of God's grace to us Gentiles that we live in today began when God raised up the Apostle Paul as a brand new apostle. Before the Lord Jesus Christ unexpectedly came back from heaven, as recorded in Acts chapter 9, and raised up Paul to be his apostle, what God was doing pertained to his program and dealings with Israel. But when God raised up Paul, He revealed to him that he was suspending his program with Israel and that he was bringing in a brand new dispensation or a brand new program. Notice once again that this is what Paul teaches us here in Ephesians chapter 3. Look with me here, if you would, at the first couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward." Notice that expression once again, the dispensation of the grace of God. Folks, that's what we live in today. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul makes it plain and clear as he begins chapter 3 here in Ephesians, that this dispensation of the grace of God, the revelation of it and the administration of it, is something that God gave to him. Notice once again he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to Eward, the dispensation of the grace of God that God brought in when he raised up the Apostle Paul as his brand new apostle, he gave it to the Apostle Paul to be dispensed unto us. And before, once again, God did that, before the Lord Jesus Christ came back from heaven as recorded in Acts chapter 9 and revealed this dispensation of Gentile grace that he was bringing in and gave it to the Apostle Paul to dispense it, before that took place, God's program was not a dispensation of Gentile grace. The program God had in effect before he raised up the Apostle Paul was his program with Israel. Cast your eyes back up here in Ephesians to chapter 2, if you would, for a couple moments, and look at another passage that ought to be very familiar to you by now. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 and following, particularly verse 11 and 12. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, in time past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Paul's talking here about how things were in time past. Before God brought this dispensation of Gentile grace in which we live today, before God brought it in, before he revealed it to the Apostle Paul, the situation that was in effect is what Paul's talking about here as time past. And in time past, God's program was not with us Gentiles. As Paul makes it plain and clear there in verse 12, at that time, in time past, we Gentiles were without Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, his earthly ministry, as we'll remind ourselves of in just a few moments here, did not pertain to us Gentiles. The Lord's earthly ministry pertained to the nation Israel. And Paul's reminding us of that very issue right here. In time past, we Gentiles were without Christ. We were aliens, he says, from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. In time past, God's program focused upon the people of Israel. They're the ones that he had made the covenants with. They're the ones that his program surrounded. And Paul says here, we Gentiles in time past were having no hope and were without God in the world. That's how things were before God brought in this dispensation of Gentile grace. And as Paul goes on in verse 13 and following and shows, the situation has now changed with this new dispensation being brought in. Verse 13 says, "But now." Now we have a description of how things are today in this dispensation of grace. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And Paul goes on, describes the great dispensational change that has taken place, and a number of great components that have changed with respect to this new dispensation, this new program of God that is brought in. Today, in this dispensation of grace, Jew and Gentile are on the exact same level. As Paul says in verse 14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, having and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Great dispensational change, once again, has taken place from how things were in time past when God's program was with the nation Israel, and how things are now in this dispensation of Gentile grace in which we live. And once again, folks, the revelation of this dispensation of Gentile grace was given to the Apostle Paul. Before God raised the Apostle Paul up, God's program with Israel was in effect. Come back once again to chapter 3 here in Ephesians. We should also understand that this dispensation of God's grace in which we live today was a mystery before God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. It wasn't something that God had made known or talked about before. It wasn't something that was anticipated by the prophets. Rather, this dispensation of Gentile grace is something that God kept hid in himself, and he had said nothing about it before he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. Once again, come back here to Ephesians chapter 3, and let's begin reading once again at verse 1, but we'll continue on down a few more verses into the chapter. And once again, this is a matter that you ought to be familiar with by now. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says this revelation of this dispensation of Gentile grace that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Paul says that was a mystery. And a mystery is something that has not been spoken about. As Paul goes on and explains in verse 5, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God never spoke about, never talked about, never let on, so to speak, that he was going to bring in a great dispensational change by raising up the Apostle Paul and revealing to him the ushering in, the bringing in of a new program. This dispensation of Gentile grace is something that God kept secret and kept hidden himself before he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. As once again Paul says in verse 5, this mystery was in other ages not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Come on down a little further here, if you would, to verse 9. And notice that Paul, in further talking about his role in this ministry, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Once again, this dispensation of Gentile grace in which we live, this mystery revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul, is something that from the beginning of the world, Paul says, hath been hid in God. And that means, once again, that God never said anything about it in ages and generations past. The prophets didn't anticipate it. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't talk about it in his earthly ministry. It wasn't something that Peter, James, and John, or the other of the 12 apostles, had any inkling was coming along. The Lord Jesus Christ unexpectedly came back from heaven, as Acts 9 records, raised up the Apostle Paul as a brand new apostle, and committed to him this revelation that he had kept hidden himself since before the world began. There are other passages that we're familiar with in Paul's epistles in which he underscores this very issue. Let's just remind ourselves of one before we move on to something else that we ought to be familiar with now in our study on the right division of God's Word. Come back with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And notice as Paul ends the epistle to the Romans, notice he talks once again about this revelation of the mystery that's been committed unto him. And notice how he describes it once again as something that God kept secret since before the world began. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Once again, this revelation of the dispensation of God's grace that was given to the Apostle Paul is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret, Paul says, since the world began, but now is made manifest. And he's the one, once again, to whom God revealed it, and through whose epistles it's manifested in the Word of God. Well, we should understand and appreciate that by now in these studies that we have been going through. While you're here in Romans, come back to chapter 15, if you would, for a moment. And we should also understand and appreciate that when our Lord was here on this earth, this present dispensation of Gentile grace was not in effect. Now, I've already made a comment upon that by way of reminding you when we were over there in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul said, in time past, we were without Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he came to the nation Israel, and he came in connection with God's program with Israel. And he declared that numerous times in his earthly ministry, and we'll remind ourselves of a couple of passages that we've seen in these studies. But before we go back there to the gospel accounts, look once again here in Romans chapter 15, and in verse 8, as the Apostle Paul talks about how things have gone in God's dealings and the great dispensational change God has now brought in, Paul talks about the Lord's earthly ministry. Romans chapter 15 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Notice that Paul talks about what Jesus Christ was. That's past tense. He's talking about what Jesus Christ and his ministry was all about in time past. When you get on later down in the passage, he talks about what the Lord is doing right now and the fact that he's the minister of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles in connection with the offering up of the Gentiles in this dispensation of Gentile grace that's now in effect. But here in verse 8 and down through verse 12, Paul's talking about how things were in time past. And once again, verse 8 declares that the Lord Jesus Christ's time past ministry, his earthly ministry, was one of being a minister of the circumcision. That, of course, is a reference to the people of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He came to deal with those time past issues that Ephesians 2 referred to that we Gentiles were aliens from and strangers from. We were strangers from those covenants of promise. Those covenants of promise and those promises were made unto the fathers, Israel's fathers. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm those things. Now, we've seen the reality of that already in these studies, and there are numerous passages, once again, in the gospel accounts that confirm the fact that the Lord's earthly ministry pertained to the nation Israel. Let's just remind ourselves of two of those passages. Come back to Matthew's gospel and chapter 10, and then chapter 15. Matthew chapter 10, and then Matthew chapter 15. Here in Matthew chapter 10, we have the Lord commissioning his 12 apostles for the first time. And he commissions them in connection with ministering with him. Now, he's a minister of the circumcision. He's a minister to the nation Israel. And he's going to commission them to minister with him. And he explicitly tells them, when he commissions them, that they are not to go to the Gentiles. And folks, that's a plain declaration, not only upon the reality of what Romans 15:8 declares, but a plain declaration that a dispensation of Gentile grace is not in effect when the Lord Jesus Christ is here upon the earth. You can't have a dispensation of Gentile grace in effect and not go to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 10, and look at verse 5. After naming the 12 apostles in the opening 4 verses, verse 5 says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Once again, the Lord commissions his 12 apostles here, and they're only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're only to go to the circumcision. He's a minister of the circumcision. They're ministers of the circumcision. In fact, later on in Galatians chapter 2, Paul declares that God gave to Peter and the other apostles with him the gospel of the circumcision. The message, once again, that they preach when they say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Israel's good news. That's confirming one of the promises made unto the fathers. The promise of establishing God's kingdom on this earth in fulfillment of the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants. But it's plain and clear once again here, folks, that there's no dispensation of Gentile grace in effect. They don't go to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 15, very quickly here. And here in Matthew chapter 15, the Lord, when it comes to being confronted by a Gentile woman, makes it plain and clear to her that he's not sent to deal with her. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Once again, a dispensation of Gentile grace was not in effect when the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon the earth. And we should understand and appreciate that by now. The gospel accounts do not record the instructions, promises, injunctions, and doctrines that pertain to God's program with us Gentiles today. Come very quickly over to Acts chapter 2. And another thing that we should easily understand and appreciate now is that the opening chapters of the book of Acts also record things that pertain to God's program with Israel. Acts chapter 2, and let's just notice something that Peter says on the day of Pentecost here. Oftentimes the day of Pentecost is thought of as being the birthday of the church or the beginning of this dispensation of grace. But Peter makes it plain and clear, filled with the Holy Ghost, when he declares the fact that what's going on the day of Pentecost is the beginning of the fulfillment of the last days in Israel's program that the prophet Joel had spoken about. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And he goes on and describes further events that are going to be going on in the last days of God's program with Israel. Peter plainly declares here once again that the events of the day of Pentecost were prophesied events. Joel spoke about them, and they pertain to the last days in God's program with Israel. And you can confirm that even again over in Acts chapter 3, when Peter declares that he's not talking about anything that God hasn't spoken about before, but he's talking about the things that have been in the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began. Peter's not talking about the revelation of a mystery or anything like that at all in the opening chapters of the book of Acts. Once again, folks, this dispensation of Gentile grace in which we live, God's program with us today, did not begin until God raised up the Apostle Paul as the brand new apostle to whom he revealed it. Well, there are a number of other things that we should also clearly understand and appreciate about the need to rightly divide the word of truth in connection with what we've seen over the last 12 weeks. For example, we should also understand that God's program with Israel is only temporarily suspended during this dispensation of Gentile grace. The fullness of God's program with Israel is still yet to come, and God will resume and fulfill his program with Israel once this dispensation of grace is concluded. And Paul teaches us that, for example, in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, particularly the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. And folks, we should also understand why it is that God, through the Apostle Paul, says so many things that are different from things he says elsewhere in the Bible. When you understand that there are two distinct and different programs that God talks about and records the details of on the pages of His Word, then it shouldn't be a surprise to you to find so many unique and different things spoken about in Paul's epistles compared to what's set forth in the rest of the Scriptures. That's why, for example, you can go over to Colossians chapter 2 and in verses 16 and 17 and find the Apostle Paul talking about letting no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Paul makes some statements there that are the exact opposite of what God said through Moses, for example, back in the law, and the exact opposite of things the Lord Jesus Christ himself said recorded in the gospel accounts. But the reason for the difference is because of the two distinct and different programs that the Bible talks about, and today we live in the dispensation of the grace of God for us Gentiles. And finally, folks, when you understand that God has two distinct and different programs set forth in the Bible, and when you realize the need to rightly divide the word of truth in accordance with them, then you also understand why there is so much confusion and doctrinal disharmony among Christians when the Bible is not rightly divided. Folks, just about every denominational ism and schism in existence today is the direct result of people failing to rightly divide the word of truth. In fact, this is something you can prove on your own. Check out the various doctrines that distinguish one denomination from another, and in just about every case, you will find that rightly dividing the word of truth is ignored. You won't even find reference to it in doctrinal statements or statements of faith. And you'll find that just about every denomination in existence today has as its keystone doctrine something that comes from God's program with Israel, and the thing that they say distinguishes them from another denomination is that they are trying to follow this aspect of God's program with Israel. Folks, rightly dividing the word of truth is the most fundamental and important single command that God gives us regarding Bible study. Do it, and the Bible makes sense, and you won't dishonor the Lord by trying to follow teachings and instructions that have nothing to do with God's program in this dispensation of grace. Fail to rightly divide the word of truth, and you will dishonor the Lord, no matter how zealous or sincere you think you are. Well, folks, this brings us to the close of another broadcast. I'm once again very glad you were able to join us, and I hope you'll be able to join us next week at the same time when we begin a brand new series of studies. If you would like a cassette tape copy of today's study, or a listing of available literature and tapes to help you understand and enjoy the Bible, simply send us a note with your request. The number of today's study to request is number 113.